Welcome to the Indie Film Review. That's right.
That's right.
A podcast. Who would have thought?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Jared, and that's Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Dan.
How are you?
I'm good. Good. I just woke up. I'm a little sleepy.
You know what? I'm glad. I'm glad you're good. I'm glad you're a little sleepy. It's going to be something we share together. You know what I mean?
That's right. Trying to get my bearings, you know, so I keep looking around.
Your ball bearings?
Yeah, damn, my ball bearings. just glad I woke up. I'm glad another day,
you know what,
has been sometimes gifted to me. It's by God.
Sometimes it feels so great to be gifted another day. Mm-hmm. Other days, it's like, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
You just want to throw that gift away. No, I understand.
Maybe not throw it away, but hide it in the closet and re-gift it to somebody else.
Maybe I don't want this fucking gift. Gift sucks. How about this? I'm gonna just eat pizza on the couch and watch Project Runway. That's what I'm gonna do with this gift. This gift of life. So on this show, we definitely don't talk about whatever I just talked about. We talk about independent films.
Independent films.
Isn't that fun?
On the Indie Film Review.
Yeah.
This week, we had a suggestion from one of the members of our network. Her name is Jules.
Jules!
She suggested we watch a film from her homeland, New Zealand, Hunt for the Wilder People.
And that's the Necropodicon Network.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Dan! Really fun place, really cool people. I like everybody there, except for that one person. You know who you are. And, God damn, that's funny to me. I don't know why I like that so much. I'm like, you fucking son of a bitch. You know who you are. Really awesome group of guys and gals. They do D&D podcasts, they do comedy podcasts, they do movie podcasts. You should really check them out.
You should listen to our bumpers that are on some of their shows soon.
Yeah. We got some bumpers. Hopefully they're out by now. They're going to be special. Special in more ways than one. Oh, I think you'll like them. You're going to like the way you bump. So yeah, let's get in. I don't know, Dan. Thank you for laughing. Sometimes I really appreciate you laughing because I'll say some things and I'm just like,
you're rapid fire. You're trying to get something.
Yeah. That's my comedy. I just throw things against the wall and hope some of them stick.
Well, that's like the manic nature of that makes me laugh. So it may not be what you say, just how you're saying it.
Yeah, that's comedy, though. That is comedy. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. You're absolutely 100% correct.
Exactly.
Let's delve into that for 40 minutes instead of talking about the film. No, I'm just kidding. Let's get into The Hunt.
The Hunt for the Wilder People.
Okay, this film was made in 2016.
Yeah, so I don't see any budget on it, but it's definitely high budget for an independent film.
Yes.
So I wouldn't necessarily call it an independent film in terms of New Zealand, because I feel like, you know, it's culturally that might have been a bigger movie than it was over here. But you can tell there was a lot of money that went into this.
Yes.
Especially towards the end.
I was so pleasantly surprised by many factors of this movie.
Well, do you want me to give the elevator pitch first?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's do that.
So a rambunctious little tyke named Ricky, he is put into the care of this woman who wants to take care of him, essentially. And the woman has a heart attack, and it's up to her husband, who doesn't like this kid, to take care of this kid. And they go on a adventure. And I'm not going to tell you how that adventure happened.
Because I even think saying that's kind of a spoiler. Yeah, but I guess that's the whole thing of the film. Man, this movie is really good.
This movie is excellent. I was very pleasantly surprised by everything. And like you said, Sam Neill is in this. Holy fuck.
Sam Neill is in this.
Dr. Alan fucking Grant made an appearance in this film. And he's stuck around.
There's a lot of fun faces in this movie. The kid who plays the kid, Julian Dennison, he's awesome. I remember him from Deadpool. I liked him. I believe he's in the second Deadpool. I've seen him in some other stuff too, but he's a good actor. He's a good child actor. I don't even know if he's considered a
child actor.
I like the actress who plays the mom, Rima Tawaita. Probably saying that wrong. Rima apologize. Tawaita. I liked everybody in this movie. I think everyone did an awesome job. Also, the director.
Taika Waititi.
Oh. Taika Waititi.
Taika Waititi.
Dan. I'm actually going to Waititi next summer. It's going to be great. We're going to get into a volleyball tournament. It's going to be a lot of...
It was written and directed by Taika Waititi.
Tit jokes.
It was based upon a book by Barry Crump. Lots of fun names in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. When you think of a guy named Crump, do you just think of like big bushy eyebrows and just like a sad face?
Kind of old and like bending over.
Oh, I'm Crump. But yeah, Taika Waititi, what's fun about him is he does all the things that you love without you realizing it. Like he did Thor Ragnarok, which was a great movie.
Did he?
Yeah, he directed it.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. He's directing Time Bandits. Apparently he's doing Akira.
No.
Which is kind of crazy. 2021, it says it's scheduled to release.
God fucking damn it.
He's doing The Mandalorian.
Why are you doing Akira whenever you already fucked up Ghost... Not Taika Waititi, but Ghost in the Shell was already just traumatized by Hollywood.
I think if anyone can do it, it's this guy.
I hope so.
But yeah, he's done What We Do in the Shadows. He did the TV show for it. He did the original. A lot of the Fly of the Conchords stuff. I like this guy a lot. He's awesome. So, okay, enough about that. Let's get into a non-spoilerly version of The Hunt for the Wilder People.
This movie's soundtrack is superb.
I agree.
It filled me full of wonder whenever it needed to. It got me to feel sad whenever it needed to. And it was just overall, there was not one moment of musical time that was wasted.
Yeah, the music in this is fantastic. The comedy works. I love the acting, editing, the landscapes of New Zealand and all those gorgeous shots were fucking cool. But yeah, I can't think of a single issue I had with this film as of this very moment. I loved everything about it. And I went into this movie completely blind. I didn't know a single thing about this film.
The only thing I knew is it was about Sam Neill and this kid being in the bush. I didn't know how or why they got there.
I didn't even know that. I didn't even realize it was Sam Neill for a while. And I was like, holy shit.
It's Dr. Sam William Neill. Lear. When did he get out of the black hole?
He went from In the Mouth of Madness directly into this film. He stumbled. He was like, oh, okay. I'll take care of this.
Oh, I forgot
kid.
About In the Mouth of Madness. That's such a good movie.
He's in so many good things.
Doesn't he play a doctor in the Mouth of Madness, too? So you have Dr. Alan Grant, Dr. Yeah. William Weir from Event Horizon, and then he just plays a doctor the whole time.
Doctor, doctor, doctor.
It was a good break from being a doctor and being, you know, a...
An illiterate manslaughterer. And maybe molester.
Excuse
we'll
me?
Get into that.
Molesterer. Thank you.
He's a molesterer! It felt like family-friendly and silly, but...
I agree.
What was this movie rated? Like, some really intense shit happens.
Yeah, PG-13.
Was it? Okay. Because, like, things die, people die...
People die in the world.
There's realistic violence.
13-year-olds need to know that. Even with the realistic violence, there were still, like, the situations were campy, I think. Anytime they came across the other hunters that are, like, trying to get the reward money from them.
Yeah.
Just those scenes go over so well comedically that you're not really concerned with the repercussions of shooting a gun at them. You know what I mean?
I just think it's amazing that you can go from, like, those silly scenes to really serious moments, like when they fight the boar later on, or when the mom passes away. Like, those are super sad and real. And then it somehow, everything works. Somehow the entire tone of the film works. Kind of amazing. So I think it's safe to say we both recommend it.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Please go watch this film. We found it on Hulu. You can get it on Amazon for $2 or something like that. Just go watch this film.
Now that we have said those things, we are going to spoil the film now, so...
Stop listening! Well, don't stop listening. Just get ready for spoilers.
Yeah. Go see this movie if you want to see it. You should see it. And then after you're done, you should come back. Okay. How we could talk about this movie is maybe going through each of the different characters.
Okay.
And talking about how we feel about them. So there's Ricky.
Well, first of all, before we get into that, the film is set up into chapters, and I think this is a really good way of defining time, because they are in the bush for like 5 or 6 months, and sometimes it doesn't feel like that, because that would probably be the one thing that I would critique in the movie, is cinematic time doesn't go as fast as they think it goes. I can see where it might, but where it's upsetting to me is just it feels like the movie is too short for it being 5 months long. You know what I mean? But what helps is the chapter. Whenever it's like a book unfolding, essentially.
I think the chapter idea definitely helps that. I think they do a good job of establishing when time has passed. Because they show the seasons changing. They do this amazing effect with the camera. The camera is spinning it slowly in a circle. Mm-hmm. And it's transitioning to all these different scenes. And it's like showing the same characters, and then they cut to like the same thing, and then the characters are doing something different.
See, my mind didn't leap. It was good, but my mind did not leap into this is time passing.
Time is passing.
My mind leapt into let's just get lost in the woods more.
Yeah, well, the first time they used it, it was the kid getting lost in the woods, and the second time and third time they used it, it was more of like time was passing. I just love that camera effect, and they used it to great effect in this movie. And then, if you're still confused, the characters will literally flat out say how long time
has passed. That's, I get that, but that's why I didn't pick up on the indirect cue. I got the direct cues, and that kind of pissed me off. It's like, oh, by the way, this much time has passed. I'm like, shut up, movie.
It was definitely necessary for the film to tell us how much time has passed, I think. Because they're just in this green jungle, and you're like, the first time when Sam Neill gets hurt, you're not really too sure how long they've been in those woods. It seems like a while, but they're literally like, oh yeah, we've been there 6 weeks. And you're like, oh shit, okay, 6 weeks have passed. They've been stuck in those woods, and now people are looking for him. That makes sense. So we got this little kid, Ricky. He is a delinquent. He's a juvenile. He does. It's so funny when they list all the bad things that he does.
Graffiti.
Because later on, the child services lady lists all of them exactly the same again to the newscaster. And she's like, no child left behind. No child left behind. Like, I think that's like an American thing. That's not really what we say over here.
Well, No Child Left Behind has a different context in America, and I don't even want to get into it because it has to do with the fucking education system, which is still affecting me to this day.
Thanks, Lincoln. Right? Is that the right one?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one.
You jerk. He gets sent to one of his very last foster homes. If this doesn't work out, he's going to put into juvie or something. And basically because no one loves it. But then we have Bella, his new foster mom, who is just this really sweet, kind, caring woman who also didn't have parents and was in the foster system. And her husband, Hector, who I guess is called Uncle a lot in this movie. They take him in. And at first, you know, it's a classic tale of the uncle doesn't like Ricky. Doesn't want him. Doesn't care about him. He just wants to go hunting and fishing and all that other stuff. And he thinks he calls him ornamental, which is pretty great. He's like, do you do anything or are you just ornamental? And I'm like, oh, damn. That's a good burn. Because he's dressed crazy. Ricky is dressed he's this ridiculous like gangster.
He's like a modern day thug. It's so funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a parody of a thug. Yeah, it's pretty great. And slowly over time, Ricky starts to like Bella and doesn't really get too close to the uncle until
Bella dies.
Yes. And then the entire film changes gears. And it took me by surprise. I had no idea this was going to happen. And I was just floored. I was like, damn, okay. But I was like, oh, this is a perfect catalyst for them. Because this is going to be a buddy movie where these two hate each other. And then by the end, of course, they like each other.
Yeah.
And even though I knew that's what it was, I wanted it to happen. I was like, let's go. I was so excited for that. I love that premise. I'm like, I'm into it. Let's make it happen. And then that's where we get the whole weird funeral scene with Taika Waititi as the priest. You know what? That's probably the only scene that didn't work for me.
Really?
Yeah, with him doing talking about the doors.
I kind of like that.
I was kind of like just ready for this scene to be over. I was like, let's get on to the next scene, please.
I liked that one.
Because the metaphor just was so out of the blue and forced.
The metaphor is not what worked for me. It was his demeanor and just the way in which he responded to his clergy.
Oh, because he says the first door has a lot of snacks and cakes and stuff. And he's like, and the second door has... And he's like, fruit? And he's like, vegetables? No, vegetables. No. Vegetables. Yeah, it was, I don't know. It just didn't really work. So the kid Ricky wants to go spread the ashes of the mom at the highest point in this lake.
Mm.
Sam Neill doesn't want to do that because he's a grumpy old man. So basically, he's like, you know what? Child Services is going to come pick you up in a week, and that's just what's going to happen, and I didn't even want you, blah, blah, blah. So Ricky fakes his own death, which is really, really funny. He like makes this little mannequin child and burns it in a barn and then takes the ashes and runs into the woods to go release the ashes like his foster mom wanted him to. There's a great scene of like the, because the villain is the Child Protective Services lady,
yeah,
with the dopey cop who just doesn't do anything. I love how the dopey cop just doesn't care about anything that's going on. He just like wants to eat food and hang out. Like he just doesn't care. The Child Services lady is so into like being a cop and like hunting them, yeah, and everything.
Even though she's not one.
She's like trapped in her own weird action movie fantasy. And she goes up to the fake kid corpse and she goes,
she picks up the plate that has a smiley face on it.
Did she, like, rub her finger on it and, like, lick it or something? She does something weird. She sniffs it.
I think she may, like, sniff it. And she's like, that's not a dead child.
So good. And she's like, we gotta get the police. He goes, I am the police. He's like, no, the real police. Because he's just, like, a nothing. It literally sums up his entire character of just a nothing character. Then Sam Neill finds the kid in the woods, and he's going to lead him out, but Ricky makes fun of him for not being able to read,
mm-hmm,
and then that makes him fall down and hurt his leg. And then this series of events, because now they're stuck in the woods, they can't leave, that leads into them not being there for when Ricky's supposed to get picked up, so then there's a big manhunt, these two characters, and that's literally the whole rest of the movie is these misunderstandings and this other stuff, because people think that he's been kidnapped by Sam Neill. Because apparently he had killed a man in his younger years and went to jail. And also there's this great thing of people start to make a rumor that Sam Neill is a molester. He's molesting the kid. And there's this dumb little scene because they go to the hunter's cabin and the hunters are there and they're talking with them. They're like, yeah, people are looking for you. And Sam tries to explain what happened. They're like, well, I got hurt, but we're coming back and, you know, we're not actually missing. And the little kid starts to explain about all the different things he's been doing in the woods.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, he makes me do a lot of things with him. And it's like, and sometimes I have to play with myself and he won't play with me. And like, it all sounds like molesting stuff.
That was a three-way exchange. You have that kid and then you have cuts to the people who are hearing him and then cuts to Sam Neill, who is hearing him, who is just doing the best job of being like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Through his eyes. It's amazing.
So is there any scene you want to talk about, Dan?
Well, I want to talk very briefly about the budget of this film and where it went. So there were two animals that were super CGI. There was that Huai or whatever, the bird, that was CGI and it was well done. And then the boar at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Was also very CGI, but that was also very well done.
This is some of the best CG I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
The boar looked fantastic. I didn't even know the bird was fake.
The bird is definitely fake, yeah.
I didn't realize that until you just said that.
So there's where some of the budget went in this movie. I don't know how much the budget cost, but it was a costly film. And then at the very end, we have like a whole line of police cars, two helicopters, like, A tank.
Yeah, they really go insane trying to chase these.
They're chasing these two people in this truck. It was like a tank, and then also there were like three other tanks that were setting up a roadblock. So there's a lot of money here.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And it was only like a 5-minute scene. What really got me liking this film was just the camaraderie between, I mean, it's to be expected because it's a buddy movie, but like, yeah, how they develop the camaraderie, because Ricky, he's so troubled that one person taught him how to deal with his troubles, and that is to write haiku. So he's constantly reciting these really dumb haikus throughout the entire film. And then he gets Sam Neill to do one at the very end, or Sam Neill does one for him at the very end, and it was very touching. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. They're cute. They're really stupid, but they're pretty cute. I like them. Well, I think we're at the end of the episode, Dan.
Really? That was a short one. Yeah.
I know. I 100% recommend this movie. This movie's fantastic. Definitely one of the best movies I've seen this year, for sure. Even though I know it came out a little while ago. How do you feel, Dan?
I wouldn't necessarily put it in like a top 10. but it was very heartwarming. Like, it was a heartfelt feature that, you know, isn't afraid to push the envelope.
There is puppy murder in this. A dog does die, so be prepared for that.
It was a mercy killing, thank you.
And it makes me real sad.
It's like Old Yeller.
So you can find us on Facebook at Indie Film Review. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. We have a Gmail if you'd like to email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Then at Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. Mm-hmm. Find us on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars. Give us a good old thumb up the butt.
Yeah, we love that. Thummy plum up the bum bum. Our little home away from home is Podbean, where we're being hosted right now, is indiefilmreview.podbean.com. We already give a big old plug-a-dug to the Necropodicon Network. Please check them out. They're awesome. And I love that you somehow got to the end of this episode.
Yes.
And I know it wasn't much effort on your part. You could have just turned it on and walked away and came back at this very moment and heard me say that. But even that, I appreciate. Okay? Can you imagine someone spite listening to us when they turn on the podcast and walk away and come back for they only want the ending plugs.
You know what? They're good plugs.
I just want to hear them talk about Facebook. Oh, shit. So good. That guy or girl, it's probably a guy, though, let's be honest, is a psychopath. So thank you. I love you all. I really appreciate it. Any feedback too, I'd appreciate. Let us know how you feel about the show. And Dan, you have the final word.
God, I didn't think you were going to get to it anytime.
Shut, Dan. Fuck you. Fuck you, Dan.
You want to know my final word?
Yeah.
What was the fucking thing that they called it in the movie? The Scucks. Is it Scucks?
Yeah, sure.
I wasn't born with the Scucks. Fuck.
Yeah.
I forgot already. I'm mad. Signing off.